I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to Father, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people and minister your word, Lord. God, I ask that you use me for your honor, for your glory, and your praise. You said when we are weak, that is when your strength is manifested. So, God, I ask that you pour your strength into my mind and my body and my spirit even now, God, that your people might hear the word that you want to give to them today, Lord. God, I praise you for this opportunity to stand before your people. I thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. That song is my prayer today because I'm fighting a cold. So if I start coughing or if I start snotting, just keep praying for me. Amen. Amen. First of all, giving honor to God, to my pastor, to Reverend Jasper, Reverend Smith in their absence, and honor to all, honor is due. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to pose a question to you today, or pose a thought to you today. God is present in human affairs, and he seeks to bring something redemptive out of every situation. Everything that happens in your life or in our world has a purpose and it has a reason. And as we mull over that God is present in human affairs, some of us might ask, where was God on November 6th when someone with the lowest popularity rating ever could become a president? Where was God when a bus driver who was speeding and six kids lost their lives? Where's redemption when my husband just slapped me halfway across the room? Don't talk to me about redemption when my teenage child I saw that, Cassandra. Don't talk to me about redemption when my teenage child just cursed me out. Where is God when someone on my schoolyard bullies me around and I keep saying, God, help me? Where is God? What about ISIS when they cut off somebody's head just to make a statement? We wonder, where is God in 2016. We know about a God that we read in these pages, and we all know the stories of the Bible. But when you look around at some of the events that are happening in the world today, you have to ask yourself, where is God? Take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 145. And Minister Coleman, I ask you to read. I'm trying to save my voice. Verses 1 through 10. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 10.
We all have to say amen.
Amen.
I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wonderful works, I will meditate. Men will speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell you, I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. Mm-hmm. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are all over his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you.
Thank you. Amen. Amen. Today, let's discuss, remember who God is. Amen. Remember who God is. I like that song that's playing on the radio now, Bigger. He's bigger than HIV. And he's bigger than cancer. And he's bigger than any problems that I might have. And let's look at Psalm 145:1. And then from that psalm, I want to pull who David said God was. And finally, I'm going to ask you to remember who God is. David was the writer of many of the books that we find in the Psalms. Does any of you have a favorite hymn? Sister Harrison, what is your favorite hymn? Just pull one. Sister Lucy, what's your favorite hymn? Lead me, guide me. Angela, what's your favorite hymn? Blessed Assurance. Deacon Cruz, what's your favorite hymn? Near the Cross. Psalm 145 was David's favorite hymn, was David's favorite psalm. This was an acrostic psalm, which means each verse represented a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And so David would sing this song all the time. So verse 1, he says, I will extol thee, my God and King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Now, just use your imagination with me. I can imagine David had just finished his turkey dinner. And as he was walking off his meal, he just wanted to take a seat in his man cave where all his stuff was. And he saw his old shepherd's staff. And he remembered the nights in the cold and remembered the dark nights that he was all alone. And now here he was, the king of a nation. All of it seemed improbable. I imagine David, as he was sitting in his man cave, he thought about killing a lion. And I could think that David just didn't rush out to kill the lion. He was probably scared and he cried out, Lord, help me. And God showed him how to kill the lion with his bare hands. David probably was thinking about the bear who had taken one of his sheep. And he knew he had to rescue that sheep. And again, David cried out to God. You see, you just don't run up to a bear and say, I'm going to kill you. David cried out to God, God, I don't know what to do. Show me how to take care of this bear. And the Lord helped David to kill the bear. We read these stories and we think that David just killed the lion or David just killed the bear. But when you read the Bible, the Bible says that David said, God gave these animals into my hand. So God showed him how to kill the lion. God showed him how to kill the bear. So when David is sitting down in his man cave and he's thinking about Psalm 145:1, these are the things that are starting to go through his mind. How great God was in his life. David looked over and he saw an old slingshot sitting on a bench. And he shuddered when he thought of Goliath. David was just a young man. He may have been 15 when he had to deal with Goliath. And here he is standing on an open plain and he's wondering, here's this 9-foot guy. Here's this 15-year-old man. He's wondering, what am I going to do? And as he was beginning to say, God, what am I going to do? He heard that still small voice inside of his spirit. Go to the brook, pick up 5 small stones, and I'll show you what to do. I will slay this giant for you. David winced when he saw the robe he wore when he was fleeing. His own son was trying to kill him. So he winced. He just, As David thought about all that God had done for him In his everyday, ordinary life, he began to write Psalm 145. I will bless thee, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever. First of all, if you look at Psalm 145, I will. It's personal. Miss Cole, I'm not waiting on you to praise God. I will bless the Lord. I will extol. I'm not waiting on your testimony, Minister Cruz. I will bless the Lord. When I think about all that God has done for me, I will bless the Lord. I can't praise him on your testimony, Sister Kay, but I certainly can praise him on my testimony. I will bless the Lord. I'm not going to let the choir or the worship leader or the preacher tell me how to bless the Lord. When I think about all that God has done for me, I will bless the Lord. And David says that I will is an emphatic. I will bless the Lord. Do y'all get it? I will bless, despite my circumstances, despite how I feel, despite what I'm going through, I will bless the Lord. Despite if this church is cold, despite if this church is old, despite if the minister's not saying nothing, I will bless the Lord. Despite if the choir is singing in Z, despite if nobody praises him, I will bless the Lord. I'm not waiting on you to get excited. I'm not waiting on you to catch a hold of the Spirit. I'm not waiting on you to catch your own shout. I have decided in my mind that I will bless the Lord because he's been too good to me to just sit down in my seat and not say how good he has been. I will bless the Lord. I will lift him up. Lift up who? The Bible says, my God. I will lift up my God because I remember who God is. I will bless and I will lift up my God. You got to put yourself back in the seat of David. He forgave me when I murdered Uriah. He forgave me when I slept with Bathsheba. I will bless my God because he is my God. We live in a society of selfies. My car, my house, my job, my church, my seat, my song, my scripture. We live in a society of me. But why not try calling God my God? When you say my God, calling God my God, it's a prayer. Kenny, not only is it a prayer, it's a praise. And not only is it a praise, it is a worship. When you just say those two words, my God, you're praying, you're worshiping, and you're praising just because you have owned the creator of the universe. You have allowed him into your presence. You have allowed him into your spirit. And when you say, my God, you are calling the God of the universe to hear what's going on in your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you say, my God, it's ownership. He owns me and I can call on him. I can call on God who created the heavens. I can call on God who created the moon. I can call on God who created Jupiter. And he's my God. He's my God. And because he is my God, that's why David said, I will extol you because you are my God. I don't need your 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 God because I got my God. I have, my God. I will extol thee, O my God and King. We translated it wrong there. The translation is supposed to read, the King. I will extol the King. There are many kings in the world. Prince Charles, is that right? That's right. Obama, we could call him a king. That's right. Who's over in Israel? We could call him a king. But there's only one king who's above all other kings. That's what David was saying. I will extol thee, my King. We like the scripture where it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. We like that picture of Jesus just standing at the door. Oh, that makes us feel good. It makes us feel good, but he's a king. And he's not a shepherd just timidly knocking on your door. Please let me. No, no, no. That's the wrong image of God. He is a king. We like for God so loved that he gave. It's gentle. It's soft. It's one of the first scriptures we ever learned. But there's more to God than John 3:16. God is a king. He's a king that could take his son, put him in the womb of a virgin. Y'all got to think about this. He took his son, who was up in heaven, put him into the womb of a virgin who never knew a man. And here's Jesus. He's a king. He's a king. We like that, those words, I am that I am. Makes a good preaching sermon, I am that I am. But God is more than I am that I am. God is King. It doesn't matter who is in office. God said, this is what God said, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. David was a king, but he knew his power had limits.
That's right.
But as he thought about all that God had done for him, he began to write this song. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. And then David said, and ever. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at that word, I will bless thy name, we have it as a singular tense, but it's a plural tense. You see, God isn't just G-O-D. There's Elohim. There's Yahweh. There's Jehovah. There's more to God than just G-O-D. You see, sometimes we pray to God and we just G-O-D him. But you got to understand that there's more to the name than just G-O-D. So when you call on the name of God, you're calling on the God of peace. You're calling on the God of power. You're calling on the God whose banner over you is love. You're calling on God who is your protection. You're calling on God who is mighty and strong. You're calling on the Almighty One. So when you call on God, you aren't just calling G-O-D. You are calling all those names and all those attributes of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we pray and we're just praying, God help me. But you got to think about who God really is. We got to remember who God really is. So I'm not just calling on God. I'm calling on power. I'm not just calling on God. I'm calling on healing. I'm not just calling on God. I'm calling on protection. I'm not just calling on God. I'm calling on power. You got to understand you got power when you call on the name of God. You got power when you call my God, my God, my God. You have power when you call on the name of God. It's not just G-O-D. You are releasing your voice into the atmosphere, and your voice released into the atmosphere gets God's attention. The God who loved you, the God who created you, the God who formed you, the God who keeps you. So when you call on God, y'all got to get this. Y'all got to get this. God is more than just G-O-D. God is just more than what we hear in service, right? God is bigger than our words. He created the alphabet. He created words. He created all of this. God is bigger than that. We like to think of God of what we see in the pictures and what we read here. You can't contain God. You can't contain God. You can't contain God. I have not seen, nor ear heard. Neither hath it entered in the hearts of men the things that God hath prepared. We cannot even begin to comprehend who God is. Our God is too small. We pray God, G-O-D, and we just leave it right there. But God is way, 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 way bigger than just G-O-D. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Sometimes you've got to study your word and know your word. Sometimes, I don't know about you, Kenny, but sometimes I just have to say Jehovah. And when I say Jehovah, it does something for me. Sometimes I just have to say Yahweh. And when I say Yahweh, it does something for me. Sometimes I just have to say Elohim. And when I say Elohim, it just does something for me. You see, there's power when you begin to release the names of God. We're running on AAA batteries when you just say God. But when you begin to call out the different attributes of God, you're running on high voltage. Nobody can touch you when you start calling out the different names of God. We wonder why we don't have power, and we wonder why things aren't happening in our lives. It's because we're just calling on God. And God is so much more than his name. I'm almost done. Remember who God is. David said, I will bless your name. When he was thinking, when he was saying that, he was saying, I'm going to bless all the names of God. We all just celebrated Thanksgiving on Thursday. And I'm sure as we sat around the table, there were many things that we were thankful for. But how many had God who showed himself as a healer in your life in 2016? How many had a God who showed himself as a deliverer in 2016? How many of you had a God who showed himself as your protector in 2016? Do you see what I'm saying? God has done so much for each of us. We just say, thank you, God. But you got to say, God, I thank you for being my healer, because he healed you when you were in the hospital. God, I thank you for being my protector. I've been driving down 28 and driving down 7. I see an accident here and I see an accident there. I see this car flipped over there. But my car is keeping straight. It's keeping rolling. I haven't been in. God has took care of me. There was a time where I didn't have a job, Kenny. 2 months I didn't have a job. I wasn't getting no income coming in. But God, he took care of me. So my God, he supplied. He was Jehovah Jireh. He supplied all of my needs. What am I trying to tell you? God is not dead. He is still alive. We think that when Revelation ended or when Acts ended, God ended his works. But I'm here to tell you today that God is alive and he is working in your life. And all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus. You say, that's all well and good, but this is 2016, and I have not heard from God in a while. I see many young people here, and you say, that's my daddy's God. That's my mommy's God. But that don't mean nothing to me. Just let me sit at home and play my video game. Let me sit at home and get a little extra nap. Let me just say, I don't need to hear all of that stuff about God. But I'm here to declare to you today, try Jesus. He's real. He's real. And he can move in your life. when you're sitting in the classroom and you forgot that answer to that history test, you can just say, Jesus. And all of a sudden you'll remember Columbus discovered America and da-da-da-da-da because he is that type of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? When someone is pushing you up against a corner and it feels like there's nobody there to fight your battle, you can call on Jesus. And all of a sudden your friends will start backing away like, whoo, where is going? That is who God is. He's not just the God of your parents. He's not just the God of Reverend Stinger. He's not just the God of Minister Cruz, but he wants to be your God. And you need him as your God. Gary, when you are out there with your badge on and you're doing your thing, God has protected you. God has kept you. He is your God on your job. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? When we are in our when you are riding around in your postal truck and then people are acting crazy all the time, he is your God. He keeps you safe in your postal truck. Y'all understand what I'm saying? No matter where you are, what you're doing, God is omnipresent. He is always there. All you've got to do is call on the name of God. Remember who God is. Seasons change. Friends change. Schools change. I'm a living witness. People change. Fashions change. But I must remember who God is. And Jesus said, and God says, I am the Lord, and I change not. You got to remember who God is. When he laid the foundation of the world, he already saw November 6, 2016. Y'all didn't get that. Y'all didn't get that. Y'all didn't get that. When he laid the foundation of the world, he already saw November 6, 2016. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? God is in control. Nothing about nothing surprises God. God is in control. If God could make Pharaoh let 1 million people leave a nation, can he help you? If God could make Lincoln write the Emancipation Proclamation, can he deliver you? If God could make Johnson sign the Equal Rights Amendment, can't God bless you? And if God allowed Donald Trump to be in office, can't God deal with Donald Trump? We don't have to go back to Canada. Don't have to go back to Africa. Just remember who God is. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. I remember. This is my testimony. When I was in the hospital in Reston, and I couldn't wake up. And I don't know if any of you have ever been between life and death. But when you're between life and death, you see a vision of hell, and you see a vision of heaven. I'm not saying you got to go there to understand, but you see them both. But while I was in between life and death, God spoke to me. And he said, get up, mighty man of God. And that's when I came out of my coma. I remember, Kenny, when I went through my divorce. And I looked at my hand and there was no more ring there. Excuse the way I'm saying this, but I felt like a piece of crap. And just like you were sitting all the way in the back, brother, I sat all the way in the back. Because I felt so low, and I felt so empty, and I felt so defeated. And I despaired even my life. Pastor, I was ready to check out. I said, why did this happen to me? But I had to remember who God was. And God said, my son, matter of fact, he said it through you, Virginia. You told me, lift up your head. God sent Virginia into my life. And we were sitting in a restaurant in Bob Evans. And you said, pick up your head. And just those words were confirmation from God. Pick up your head. I still love you. Carry on. Why am I telling you all of this? Sometimes you just got to remember who God is. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be by your side. I got a confession. Even though I am a preacher and even though there's a reverend in front of my name, my hands haven't always been clean. I have done stupid things, and I have done dumb things, and I have sinned grievously against the Lord, but my God still loves me. My God still cares for me. My God still watches over me. My God still supplies all of my needs. So regardless of who I am and what I've done and how many times I knowingly did it, God still cares for me, and God still loves me. I've got to remember who God is. And church, today I invite you to remember who God is. He's more. He's more than this. He's more than the choir. He's more than Sister Pam singing good. He's more than those chili bumps coming up your sleeve when this. He's more than this. Remember who God is. He is creator. He is king. He is Lord. He is redeemer. He is savior. He is master. Remember who God is. Amen. Go ahead. I'm tired. As we're standing and every head is bowed and every eye is closed, perhaps there is somebody here today who has forgotten who God is, and you've walked away from him, turned your back on him, done your own thing, your own way. We all done it. We've all been there. If you're here today, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, all I want you to do, I'm not going to ask you to come down front. All I want you to do is just put your hand up. I have walked away from God, and I want another chance. Just put your hand up and put it back down. Anybody, God loves you. Give him a chance. God loves you. Give him a chance. Put your hand up. Put it back down. If you're here today and you do not have a church, a place to call home, a pastor to pray for you, people to love on you, people to visit you, and you need a church home, you need a place to plant yourself, plants to grow. If you're here today, I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up. I want to join a church. I want to belong to somebody. Put your hand up and just put it down. There are any young people, while heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed, you're having difficulty in school. Teachers aren't treating you right. Friends aren't acting right. And you're just having real struggles in school, knowing who you are, being bullied, pushed around. If you're here this morning, all I want you to do is just put your hand up, put it back down. Amen. Finally, if there's anybody here that just needs prayer, I need God to be my redeemer. I need God to be my help. I need God to be my bank. I bought a lottery ticket, but I didn't win. So God, now I'm looking to you. If you're here today and you just desire prayer, I'm going to ask that you lift your hand up and keep your hands up. While your hands are up and every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask the pastor to pray.
We are our Heavenly Father's children. And He knows all about us. He knows what we're going through. We are our Heavenly Father's children. And He loves us one and all. We are our Heavenly Father's children. The God of the universe loves us. We are His children. The situations we find ourselves in, He already knows where we are. He has allowed us to go to the point that we have gone, but it won't be more than we can bear. He's allowed our situations to be far beyond our control, but He won't allow it to be more than we can bear. So whatever we might be going through, it's just good to know that our God knows where we are, and He loves us enough. He loves us enough. He's powerful enough to change our situations. Our Father and our loving God, we thank You, Father. We thank You, Father, for demonstrating Your love in our lives over and over again. Everybody who's under the sound of my voice can look back and reflect on some times when we needed You and didn't know what to do, but we called on You. Well, we cried. We couldn't tell anybody about the tears, perhaps. Couldn't find anybody who we could talk to about it, but we talked to You. Not only did You know that we cried, You knew how many tears we cried. No, You knew the situation. We didn't have to explain it to You. We just had to give it over to You. Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, I ask that You just cause us to remember how good You've been to us, how You answered our prayers, how You were there when we needed You. Let us look back and remember how You were there in the times when it seemed like nobody else was there. Father, we ask that right now we realize how much those situations we came through made us stronger. Stronger because every time we came through, we knew that it was You who brought us through. So, Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask that You cause each of us who are going through whatever we might be going through, cause each one of us to just be reminded that You are our Heavenly Father. You are the Father of each one of us. You love us individually. Some of us are good kids, some are bad. You are our Father. You love us all. And all we need to do is just continue to hold on to Your unchanging hand. All we need to do is continue to trust in You. Continue to put our situations in Your hands. Continue to let the world know that You are our God. And somehow it seems over and over again, You'll give us a brand new testimony. Because You'll bring us out. You'll bring us through. You'll give us an answer to the questions we did not have. The answer is all we need to do is give it over to our God. Father, we thank You for the things You've done and the way You've moved in our lives. We want to ask You right now, Father, that one who's going through a situation that seems to be far beyond anything they've gone through before, more than they're able to handle, remind them, Father, that it's not for them to handle. All they need to do is put it into Your hands, a God who can handle, a God who can change, a God who can move, a God who can make a difference. Father, whatever it is that's on the heart, don't have to talk about it and explain it to anybody else. All they need to do is say, Lord, here I am. Here is my situation. You know all about me, Lord. I'm trusting in You. I'm trusting in You, Father. I'm trusting in You to love me enough to bring me through what I'm going through. I pray, Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ, that one who feels it's all the way out of control, that one who feels that it cannot change and will not change, that they pause just long enough to see what You can do if they put it in Your powerful, loving hands. Father, sometimes I just need a touch from You. Sometimes I just feel like I want to have Your arms around me. Somehow I find comfort and lose all my anxiety just by talking to You. Father, let that one who's going through the most difficult time know that You just want to lay Your hand on them, throw Your arms around them, and bring them through what they're going through. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You, Father, for allowing us to know even right now that a change is going to come. If we'll put it in Your loving and powerful arms, in Your hands. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We're thanking You for what You've done, but we're thanking You, Father, for what we know You're going to do. We thank you for the confidence that you, the God of the universe, will bring us through. In the precious name, the powerful name, the healing name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 My Lord. He knows just how much we can bear. He knows what you're going through, and he won't allow it to be more than you're able to go through. Every time we go through something, every time we find a situation that's more than we can handle, let me assure you, there is no situation, no problem, there is nothing that's beyond the power of our God. I'm talking about the God that loves you.
Amen.
The God who loves you. He has all power. We just need to trust him, love him enough to trust him, and put our situations in his hands.